Psalm 53, let's read. Let me get serious. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captive of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for these moments we can spend one with another. Thank you for the marvelous songs that we have the privilege to sing one with another and to lift our voices to you. Lord, I thank you for these hymns that have such deep and marvelous meaning. And I pray that as we have opened our Bibles here this morning, that our hearts might be challenged, but Lord, more than anything, that our hearts might be drawn unto you. Help us to see vital truth. Help us to apply it to our lives, whatever that might be, and that you would get the honor and the glory in Christ's name. Amen. There are two psalms that are almost identical. And those two psalms are chapter 53 of the book of Psalms, and of course then chapter number 14. And both of them basically are saying that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. As with anything that bears repeating, the truth conveyed is of utmost importance. And that truth, I believe, is fools have no fear of God, and they follow their own sinful hearts. Their sinful plight is very well documented in this psalm. And so if you notice here, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And what does he say immediately? Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity, and there is none that doeth good. And then we find it says, God looked down from heaven to see if there was anyone who didn't understand. In verse 3, he talks about that every one of them is gone back. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Fools have an innate belief in the superiority of themselves. And God is not in all of their thoughts. Matter of fact, he's in very few of their thoughts. The book of Proverbs discusses a fool very often throughout its pages. In chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, he thinks he's right all the time. And it goes on, it says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And a fool doesn't listen to anybody. They just believe they're right. But a wise man is going to listen to people and going to gain in this thing of wisdom. In chapter 14, verse 16, it says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He has no fear, and he believes that he can accomplish anything. And thus they have no fear of the one they don't believe exists. And if they do believe he exists, they believe he's basically subordinate to them. And so lawlessness becomes their creed. Turn with me for a few moments to the book of Romans chapter 3. For the verses in Psalm 53 really allude to these. And book of Romans chapter number 3. And if you've ever learned the Romans road, you've looked at some of these verses. And if you notice with me, going down to verse number 10, and it says, as it is written. Where do we find that written at? Well, I think we found it written in Psalm 53. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He says their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Now notice there's a colon, and it all gets summarized right here in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. My message today is simply entitled, Fools and Fear. You know, many Christians downplay the word fear. And instead of looking at it as something in the realm of fearful or being afraid of, they give it the definition of reverential trust. Though that is a good definition, it doesn't resonate too much in the hearts and minds of most people. And most folks, you say reverential trust, and they're going to say, huh? But we understand fear, do we not? In fact, we understand that fear of someone is a motivational factor to please them. Children who have a certain fear of their parents, what happens? They seek to please them. They're afraid not to please them. They're afraid of what might take place. Reverential trust doesn't place the emphasis, I believe, on pleasing another, but a belief that they seek to please you. By the way, moms and dads aren't there to please children. Children are there to please mom and dad. Now, fear has a way of directing our actions. If you are afraid of something, you're going to probably stay clear of it. You know, just about 200 feet from where I'm standing right now, I don't go out and stand, I don't go out and sit, I don't go out and walk in the middle of the interstate. Because I have within me a fear of 80,000 pounds moving at 70 miles an hour at me. Fear motivates. It keeps me away from some things that can harm me. But fools are fools because they have no fear, and especially no fear of God or His judgments. Now, one of the things that we notice here about fools is this. They are very common. They're everywhere. Did you notice verse number 3? Every one of them he's talking about, they are all together become filthy. They're everywhere. I mean, from the tiny house. Have you noticed people are now wanting to live in tiny houses instead of big houses? And they get all excited about living inside of a closet as compared to an area where they can kind of roam around a little bit. I understand some of the thought behind that. But from the tiny house to the White House to the church house, we find that fools be everywhere. Every profession has them. Every city, every state, every nation has them. Every organization, every business that you can think of has fools within it. Personal belief, I think their favorite habitat is within government. Some of you might agree with me on that. Some of you may not agree with them on that. I find something else too, and that is most families must deal with at least one. It seems like there's always a fool within a family. Do you realize there are so many fears that scientists have labeled many of them? Have you ever heard of pallidophobia or a phobia? I can't even say it right. It's a fear of baldness. It's a fear of bald people. Have you heard of aerophobia? It's a fear of drafts, the wind. Poor thyrophobia. It's a fear of the color purple. You say people are scared of these things? Evidently. Chitophobia, it's a fear of hairy people. There's one called levophobia. It's the fear of objects that are on the left side of your body. Check out who's sitting there. But we also find there's dextrophobia, which is a fear of objects on the right side of the body. And listen to this one. Auroraphobia is a fear of the northern lights. Calliprophobia, a fear of obscure meetings. Thalassophobia, a fear of being seated. Strabismusphobia, that's a big one. You don't even know if I'm saying it right or not, amen? It's a fear of standing and walking. Oh, you'll love this. Odontophobia, it's a fear of teeth. There are certain dogs I have odontophobia with. Graphophobia, a fear of writing in public. And here's the corker of all. Phobophobia, it's a fear of being afraid. But all of these fears, what do? They compel people to do certain things. And it's everywhere. Everywhere you don't find God in the hearts of men, there are fools. There are those who are fearing man. They're foolish in all that they do. Wherever there is sin, there is a fool. Bible says in Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. In chapter 14, verse 16, it says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Listen, sinfulness is foolish, and foolishness is sinful. And what do we find? It is very, very common. Now, please understand this, because I'm going to use a word again in a different meaning. Fools live in fear. Now, they won't fear God, but they will live in continual fear. And I believe because they won't fear God, God shows them continuous fear in their life. I think of Moses on one occasion. And we find in the Word of God, it says, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He had a fear within. And so he looks one way and another. By the way, young people, when I walk into a room and I see you look this way and that way, you've just given yourself away. But there's something else about that. You can't help it and you can't stop it. Fear. Fools live there. During his years as premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and the autocracies of Joseph Stalin. Once, as he censured Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. And that heckler said, you were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? And Nikita roared back, who said that? Silence followed. Nobody in the room dared move a muscle. And then Khrushchev replied, now you know why. I hope you caught that. The Russian peoples lived in absolute fear. Perhaps you've heard of Black Bart. Black Bart was a professional thief. And he was one who terrorized and robbed Wells Fargo stage lines for a number of years. Matter of fact, between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoaches. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. But there's something amazing about Black Bart. In all those robberies, he never fired one shot. Because a hood hid his face, no one had ever saw him. He never took a hostage, and he was never trailed by a sheriff. What was the reason? Somehow, he paralyzed his victims with fear. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest of the stagecoach guards. Many people live in constant fear. One of the things I have noticed in this last year, listen, COVID is very real. It's not a disease that you want to get, though most will recover from it. It does kill. But that'd be true of many diseases. Is that not true? But in this year, we have found so many people so scared. Listen, so fearful. And it's amazing to me. I'm not against precautions. I'm not against being smart and all of those kinds of things. But some people are just trembling inside constantly. And in this matter of fear constantly. Without God, there's no deliver from the onslaughts of sinfulness. And you and I have no hope in that regard. There was a preacher in the 1600s. His name was William Gurnall, a very tremendous man of God. He said this, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." So what took place? What do we find here? We find that fools are everywhere. And we find fools do not fear God, but they live in constant fear. Fear of men, fear of circumstances, all sorts of things. But there is something that I believe is tremendous. And I find it in verse number 6 where it says, "Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Israel." Fools can be saved. They can be saved. Now, normally they will not listen. The Bible teaches us very specifically, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Interesting. It tells us a little later, "Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate." Normally, a fool will not listen. But God has a way of making a man listen. Listen what it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back." What's he saying? It takes something very drastic to get his attention. Years ago, we had a lady in our church. She had some horses, and there was one horse that was a stallion. If you know anything about horses that are stallions, they're not geldings, they're stallions. There's a difference, and they can be very mean. They're larger than their counterparts of the mares. They have a little wilder nature about them. And this was a beautiful Arabian stallion. I loved to ride him, but there was something you had to do with that horse before you got on him. Now, this may sound cruel, but if you were going to ride him, you better find yourself a really good stick. You didn't want to get one that was old that would crack. You wanted something that had still some green within it so that it would not break if you used it. And there was something that you would have to understand. You would have to use it quickly, or he would do what he wanted to do. And it was interesting because once you got his attention with that stick, see, how'd you do that? He had a very serious meeting with it. And when he met that stick, he then would behave. And you'd ride down the trail, and he was a sure-footed horse, beautiful to ride. But you'd have one hand on the reins, and the other hand you'd have a stick. You know what you had to do with that stick, Carolyn? Don't throw it down thinking you had control of that horse. Because he was constantly looking back to see if you still had. I made the mistake one time of dropping it. And when he looked and saw it wasn't there, he took over. That's what we're talking about, a rod for the fool's back. Something that's going to get the attention. Something that's going to steer him in the right direction. We go to the book of Luke and chapter 15. We find an account there. We find the story of three things that are lost. And the last thing it speaks of in that chapter that is lost is a son. And you remember the story. There was a fellow, he was rich and he had two boys, and the younger one wanted his inheritance now because he was leaving. He was going to make a name for himself. And so he says, give me my inheritance. And so the daddy did. The older brother stayed at home and worked for his dad, but the younger brother took off. Went into a far country, the Bible says. And when he was in that far country, something took place. And that is, the rain quit coming and the crops quit producing. And we find that there was tremendous drought that overtook the area. In the process of time, and no doubt through his partying, he lost every nickel he had. He was down to nothing. And he goes to a farmer. And this farmer is one who is raising hogs. Now, I don't know if you ever had anything to do with hogs. First of all, if you're driving out in the country, you can definitely tell the difference between a hog farm and a cattle ranch or farm. Many of you folks who've never lived in the farm area, you'd go out there and it didn't matter. They stunk and they stunk just alike. But there is a definite difference. And hogs are horrible. They're horrible. And he went to work taking care of the hogs. Any of you ever slopped hogs? Huh? A couple of you have. Say, what are you talking about? You just take a bunch of slop out there. It doesn't matter what it is. You throw it in the wooden feeder, and they come running, they eat that. The ickier it looks, the better they like it, seems to me. And what was he doing? He was feeding the hogs. Matter of fact, things had gotten so bad for him, as he fed the hogs, he was thinking to himself, this looks pretty good for me. And something happened. There's a little phrase that you'll find in that chapter. And that little phrase says, he came to himself. That's an unusual phrase. But what happened? The rod for the fool's back had come down upon him. And through that tragedy, he began to listen. And he says, I'm going to go back to my father. Fools can be saved, but it's going to probably take something drastic in their life. It might be some sort of tragedy, but it's not going to be something pretty. But they can be saved. Some of you in this room, you have relatives that are foolishly lost. And you pray for them. And when you've had the opportunity, you've spoken to them about Christ. And you've tried to tell them, listen, you can have a better life. You need Jesus. You need to be saved. And it just kind of goes right over the top because they're fools. But you keep praying. Please don't misunderstand me here, but expect God to do something drastic in their lives to turn them around. But let me ask you this. That 80,000-pound truck that's coming 70 miles an hour, by the way, he's speeding, he's out here, and he does. He's coming down this freeway, and your little child heads for that freeway. And you can't get to him in time, but you see a rock. Would you be willing to throw the rock at your child to keep him out of the way of a semi that's coming at him? Well, it might hurt him. It'd get his attention. Might divert. Amen? And so we're praying that way. Something like that might happen. But don't be upset when God allows it. Praise God for it. And let God do what he's going to do in their life. Fools can be saved. Listen, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. It says they're all together become filthy. Every one of them. There's a bunch of them. Fools are everywhere. They do not fear God, but they live in fear. Their life is never complete. But yet through their stubbornness and their foolish thoughts, they keep going forward in their foolishness until God, in his miraculous grace, stops them some way, somehow, and they can be saved. First, are you a fool? What's a fool? One who does not fear God. He's not afraid of what God will do. He isn't any concerned about that. He's not worried if he does this, God will do that. He didn't fear God. He probably got that because he never learned it at home. You see, as parents, we are put in the position of God in a sense. And we help to teach that fear of God through their fear of us. You say, well, my kids still love me. I'll guarantee you my kids love me more because they learned first to fear me. How we need that in our lives. Let's bow our head in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for those here who are not foolish, not fearful, but have a deep faith within, a belief and a respect for you. They wish to honor you. They wish to honor those that are about them, our young people here that love you, have an honor for their mom and dad. Lord God, I pray that you would just certainly bless each of those. But Lord, we pray for those who are foolish. Perhaps one in this room. not really feared what God might do in their life. Haven't thought about the consequences of their sin. Oh God, I pray you might work in their heart. And then, Lord, I pray for those that we know that are fools. Oh God, help us to be faithful in seeking you. Help us realize it'll probably be your rod that's going to straighten them out. But God, so be it. Bless, I pray, work in our hearts. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad